World leaders are waiting to see if President Trump will make good on his campaign promise to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord. The issue is expected to come up next week when Trump is at the G7 summit in Italy. Back in 2015, the U.S. and nearly 200 other countries agreed to cut back on planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions. And as we await word on that from the White House, we want to revisit a story from last November when I met a Swiss family sailing the world to witness the effects of climate change firsthand.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm Peter.
Hi, Peter. Nice. Welcome on Pachamama, huh?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. I met up with Dario Scherver on his boat, the Pachamama, on a windy, frigid day at the Boston Harbor. He and his wife, Sabine, had just sailed down from the Arctic. They've taken their handsome but well-worn aluminum sloop more than 100,000 nautical miles around the globe. They say they've seen 100 countries, climbed the highest peak on every continent except Antarctica, and shared their story with thousands of schoolchildren along the way. Their boat is appropriately named. Pachamama is an Incan word that means Mother Earth.
It's 50 feet long, and the mast is about 68 feet high. And the draft we have is about 8.5 feet.
You've got solar panels that we're sitting right behind here. There's wind turbines on the back here. I assume generating power as well.
Yeah, so that's a great thing, you know. We produce now all our energy with the sun and the wind. So weather like today where we have no sun, we have enough from the wind generators. When it's calm and sunny, we have it from the solar panels. And that gives you really a feeling of independence. And you're much a happier person when you have solar panels and wind generators. Because it's like when you grow your own salad in your backyard. This salad, you know, is filled with love. You know, it's much better on the table. And the same is with energy. When you produce your energy, do you have a relationship with it?
You've been on the seas for a long time, port to port, country to country, continent to continent. Why are you doing this?
I mean, in the first place, it was because my office was melting away. So as a,
what do you mean?
As a mountain guide in the Swiss Alps, you know, I saw the glaciers melting, some mountains falling apart because the permafrost is melting. And so I told my wife, let's do something. And we came up with the idea just to explore. And we came up with the idea, let's connect all climates. And so we thought, okay, why we try once a kind of a world record to go to the tallest mountain, the top of each continent, just sailing, cycling and climbing, so with nature's force and human power, climate friendly.
I want to talk to you about some of the journeys that you've been on. I understand you just came from the Northwest Passage, but before I do that, it's cold and windy out here. Let's go see some of the boat and meet your family.
Okay, great.
Dario and I leave the deck and duck underneath a zipper canopy that's keeping the cold out.
Okay, we're going down the steps in to the boat. Oh my gosh, there's a whole crew down here.
Hello.
Hi.
So we have here Sabine, that's my wife.
Hi.
Hello.
With baby Mia. She became probably the youngest ever going through the Arctic to the Northwest Passage.
How old is she?
She's now just became 1 year old.
Oh my gosh.
And then we have our firstborn.
Hello.
Hi.
Her name is Selina. And then we have Andre. He's 10. And then we have Noe, born in Australia. He's 7. And what's your name?
I'm Allegra, and I'm 5 old.
Allegra, where were you born?
In Singapore.
Where were you born? You can't talk.
In Switzerland.
Switzerland? How about you? Where were you born?
I was born in Chile.
Chile? Oh, hey, buddy. Where were you born?
Oh, I was born in Chile, Patagonia.
Ah, you got something in common there with your sister. That is crazy. What a fascinating family. So here we are in the hull of your sailboat. This is your home.
So we are a family of 7 people, and with our friend Christina, we are 8. We have to provision sometimes for over 8 months. So last time before Boston, where we have seen a supermarket, was in Honolulu in May. So Sabine is really the expert, you know, of provisioning.
Now, you just made a big trip through the Northwest Passage. This is the sea route that normally is frozen over with ice. It connects the Pacific Ocean with the Atlantic Ocean. You just came through there. What'd you see?
Not much ice. But what we have seen in the Arctic was dramatic. Not only the wildlife struggling, like polar bears, they cannot hunt seals anymore because there's no ice.
Yeah. How did you see that if there's no ice
there? We have had once a polar bear 50 nautical miles offshore. You know, that's about 80 land miles, you know, offshore.
Floating on an iceberg or something?
No,
or what?
Looking for ice, swimming. You know. Yeah, really? He was skinny, you know. They need ice to hunt seals. They cannot swim out the seals. So what they do is they are on the sea ice, waiting on a air hole till a seal shows up, and then they catch the seal. And so without ice, they have they cannot survive.
Can I ask the kids, did you see the polar bear? So tell me your name again.
Selena.
Selena, you saw the polar bear.
Well, Christina was having watch, and suddenly she's like, oh my God, there's a polar bear on the left side of the boat. And we all just ran over there, and it was very cool.
So what happened?
I kind of felt bad for it, but I don't know. I don't think it knew that there would not be ice, but I hope it survived.
Sabine, what an experience for your children.
Yeah, I think that for me, it's a great experience to have the children with us all the time and go in different places and see different people, cultures, and wildlife. So I feel very blessed to see all that.
As difficult as it might be to see the polar bear struggling out there 80 miles offshore, we don't really know what's going to happen to that polar bear. Most kids don't get to see sort of nature that up close and personal, sort of the brutality of nature too, but for you, that's part of the learning experience for your family.
Yeah, I think nature is the best teacher. We were really shocked, and we came up with ideas how we could save this polar bear, but we didn't have a good idea. But what we really wanted to say, we want to tell other people that it's really melting up there, and you know, we saw it with our own eyes, and the polar bear, they don't have a voice, but I hope people realize that it's really, that we have to do something.
Dario, I wonder what you make of what's happening in the world right now, politically speaking. This is your life. You've dedicated all of your life to getting this message out, to observing it. But there are big questions about whether or not the Paris Climate Agreement, for instance, that was recently signed into effect, that's supposed to limit global warming to 2 degrees Celsius. There are questions about whether or not the United States will live up to its end of the bargain. In this country, climate change is not a driving factor that motivates a lot of people to the polls, for instance. We just saw this in our recent election. Do you feel like you're losing your battle?
No, actually, I became every year more optimistic about the future of our planet. I think the most important thing what we have to do to face climate change is, first of all, we have to build bridges. We have seen 100,000 students in more than 100 countries. And when you connect the students to schools, they became friends, they understand each other, they have a relationship, and then you can solve problems.
And what a life it must be to see all this, to spend a childhood at sea. No way, the 7-year-old told me about that.
It's pretty cool. Most of the time when it's not cold weather, like today, I climb up the mast, but today it's too cold.
And too windy.
Yeah, so now I'm in my sleeping bag.
So you go all over the world in this thing. What's it like when there's a really big storm?
It's actually really fun because when it just starts to go down, we jump up and it feels like you're jumping really high.
Do you ever get sick?
No, but some older ones get pretty fast sick.
Oh, you're pointing the finger at somebody. Who's that? You do, yeah, Sabine?
Yeah. I do, but after 3 days, I'm fine.
3 days? Well, that doesn't sound like any fun.
No, that doesn't sound fun, but after 3 days, I love it.
The kids say they do get tired of living inside the cramped hull of a sailboat. They tell me there's only so many ways to cook a head of cabbage. But they do keep busy with their tutor. And they've got a violin, there's a guitar and a cello on board, and the family has been known to sing, with no one on earth around to hear, as they sail the Pachamama across the globe. The Shervo family last November on their boat in Boston Harbor. After we met, they sailed south past Rhode Island. They spent the winter in New England, and by April they were on the water again. They threaded the East River in New York City. They took a hard charge to the east, and early this month they reached the warmer waters of Bermuda. And as we speak right now, they are just a little dot in the Atlantic, halfway to Europe. You can follow their progress at hereandnow.org.